dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell was cast to the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so we definitely want our name in that book. When we get born again, that's where it goes, in the book of life. And we can have our name removed from that book if we turn on the Lord. We can quit serving Him. And, you know, He's not going to turn away from us unless we reject Him. But He told us, you know, what He expects of us, how He wants us to live. If we keep His commandments and we accept Him as our Lord, there's no reason why we can't go be with Him in heaven. He's paid all the costs and prepared everything. And I just love my Lord tonight. Let's all look to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, God. We have this blessed hope, Lord, in your return. Lord, we know, God, it could be any moment, Lord. We just look forward to it. We long for it, Lord. We pray, God, that every loved one will be ready, Lord, God, that they're not missing, Lord. We know it's not going to be a good time afterwards, Lord, for those who miss. We pray, God, that you be with each one. Have your way in this service, Lord. We give you praise and praise. And, so stay booked for that flight. And John chapter 14 verse 1 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Promise from the Lord. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. If I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now it starts out there. And many times, angels in the Bible have talked about when they met people and they had a message for those people. The first thing they would usually say is, "Fear not." And I believe that was because people, many of them, had never seen an angel before. And they are a holy being and powerful. And it's something that will rattle your cage if you're not used to it, I guess. But same here. Jesus is saying, "Let not your heart be troubled." Jesus knew what it was going to be like in the last days when he comes back. So he's telling us, "Let not your heart be troubled." He knew that there would be perilous times. There would be famines, pestilence, earthquakes. There would be deception. There would be lack of love. Many hearts growing cold. And many reasons that we could be troubled. And you can just look around you every day, you know, and if you didn't have your mind focused in the right area, just like Brother Robert was saying, you know, think on the good things. We let the other things get in our mind, it will depress you in a hurry, and it will get you down. And there's so many things around us, you know, in this world right now, and the enemy's fighting. He knows he's got a short time, but there's no reason that we have to let him get the best of us. God's give us everything we need, and if we'll just turn to him. In Titus 2 and 11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." And I stayed up all night. I guess it was Wednesday night. About midnight, I went to bed and had to get up early to go to work, but I had my sermon prepared that night. And I come in Thursday, what's Brother Pepper preach on? Same scripture. And anyway, I appreciate the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, and you know, we're in sync there. But You know, it's kind of, it never fails, seems like, when you get ready to preach. A lot of it's already been preached before you get up here. But it says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In this present world, this is not the only world. There's going to be one after this. We have not arrived there yet. One day we will. And thank the Lord, He's got a better place for us than this place. And it's going to be a much more pleasant place than what we go through here. Even though God's blessed us abundantly here and He's provided for our needs, yet we have so much more to look forward to. And it says, He tells us what He doesn't want us to do. It says, not live in worldly lust and ungodliness. He wants us to live right here and before we get to the other side, but He will help us do that with the Holy Spirit guiding us if we'll just let Him lead us and have His way in our life. And said, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I was thinking a few minutes ago how Methuselah, his name meant when he died, the deluge would begin. And he lived longer than any other person in the Bible that talks about. He lived 969 years. And so I'm thankful for the long suffering of the Lord before the great flood came. But I myself am not a long-winded preacher. I was thinking, what would it be like, you know, if the Lord said, when Rick gets through preaching, we're all leaving out of here. We're going home. So that would be just wonderful with me. So I'm just not long-winded. I had a friend years ago where a place I first started welding, big Indian fellow. He was golden gloves boxer and big burly guy. And I knew him for a few years, never knew what his name was. We just all called him Chief. But he said, Rick, you make a good Indian. You don't talk much. So we got along real good. But 1 Peter 1 and 3. It says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Thank the Lord that our Lord did raise from the dead. He came out of that grave and He gave us a hope. If He had not risen, like He said, after 3 days, then we would have no hope for our future. But He said it's a lively hope, one that we can look forward to. Says, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And the inheritance incorruptible that fadeth not away. And I'm thankful for that. Even Paul's day, they were looking for the Lord's return. He believed that He could come at any moment. And all through time, you know, people yet look for the Lord. They didn't see Him come yet. Of course, He hasn't. I mean, there's been a couple of raptures of different individuals. Elijah and Enoch, they rose personally by themselves, but there's going to be a greater one coming in the future, and we don't know when. It could be really close. And anyway, that hope that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And I've been looking for the Lord's return, thinking even back when I was in high school, that He could come any day, and I was expecting it so much then. And that's been a few years ago, and I think it's been 40-some years ago. But anyway, I'm not any disappointed. I know it's just that much closer to His coming. And when I was young, even before I realized what the rapture was all about, I had a dream, had it more than once. Seeing myself lifting up in the air and just levitating, going off the ground, and people were jumping up trying to get a hold of my feet as I was going. But I have to say, I don't know. I don't know exactly why I had that dream, but I had it more than once. And When I was a kid, my grandma lived across the road from a ballpark, and it was called Cherry Hill Baseball Park. It's no longer there. That's where I seen myself going into the air. But there's a housing addition there now. But yet it doesn't discourage me. I still look forward to his return and take me. And if I go to the grave first, that's fine, however he wants to do it. But I just want to go be with him. In Luke 21:29. Says, and he spake unto them a parable, behold the fig tree and all trees, when they now shoot forth, yet ye see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so it's just the fig trees and all trees. And I like springtime. I like to see the flowers pop up and get all beautiful, their colors and different shapes and styles that the Lord's created them in. And I enjoy mowing grass until it's about the middle of the season. I get tired of it. It gets hot. But it seems like the weeds grow faster than anything else. But I like to see the trees popping out. You can already see them right now. You go look outside, you'll see little buds coming out where the leaves are fixing to come out. We know that summer is drawing nigh, springtime, and then summer. But it says, likewise, when you see all these things come to pass, know you the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And we see all the things happening around us that the Bible says will happen before the Lord returns. And we can't doubt it. You know, we'd have to be blind not to see it. There's so many things around us that talked about that of his coming. And I think Brother Pepper and Sister Anna, one day she's testifying, talked about how there's nothing else prophetically that has to take place before the Lord's return. That's the next big thing on the schedule. And I'm thankful for that. You know, we don't have to wait on anything else to happen. It could be any moment. In Luke 21:34 says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged in surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. As a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So it says, it warns us in verse 34, take heed to yourselves, lest any time your heart be overcharged in surfeiting and drunkenness. And surfeiting means overindulgence, drink and food, excess, whatever, you know, and just getting caught up in things of this life. And verse 35, as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. A snare is another name for a trap. And it says, as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the last days. And before they came, I'm going to turn over to Matthew 24:36 and read that. But but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. As in the days when they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So they made the same mistake. They were caught up too much in what was going on around them day to day, you know, marrying and giving in marriage, eating and drinking and just common everyday things everyone does, but they weren't looking for that time that they were warned of, the flood coming. But it caught so many of them off guard, and only 8 souls lived through that flood. And the rapture is imminent, and that means it's definitely going to come. And Christ is coming like a thief of the night, unexpectedly. And he's not a thief. He's only going to take what belongs to him. And when we get our name put in that book of life, we are his child. We're part of his family. He's coming back for us. And he says, be watching, be ready for his return. And if the message makes you feel uneasy, if you feel like, hope it doesn't happen tonight, then you're not ready. You need to get that way, because time is running out. We don't know how much longer we got. And I know some people, it's easier to see other people's faults and shortcomings than it is to see our own. But I know some loved ones I know that need to get ready, and hope they do before it's too late. We know when he does come, it's going to be the beginning of the tribulation period. It'll be 7 years of the worst time on earth it's ever been. And it's going to be worse than any world war or in the Great Depression or anything in history that we've faced yet. It's going to be worse. We don't want to be hanging around. And I'm thankful that God gave us an option. You know, be ready. You won't have to go through that. And there's some uncommon characteristics about this flight called the rapture. And I've jotted down some little thoughts I had the other night while I was thinking about what it would be like. And we see flights every day around us. You know, the airport is busy, coming, going, just constantly in every airport. And anyway, one of the thoughts I had, you know, was your name's got to be in that book of life. He's only taking the faithful. If we're not faithful, we'll be left behind. And there's no need for a passport, no requirement. We're not going to have the real ID. The Lord already knows who we are. We're not going to have a COVID shot. We're not going to have to wear a mask. I seen on the news just earlier today, said they're going to start requiring masks again on flights. And thank the Lord, this one is not required. And it's a one-way trip. We will be coming back with the Lord later in the fight in the battle of Armageddon, those that do are privileged enough to go with the Lord. But for now, it's only one-way trip. We won't have to come back in a day or two. And it says there won't be any long lines waiting. You know, when you get on board, sometimes it takes a while to get on, and you're hanging out at the airport for hours, and you won't be frisked. You won't be checked for weapons. It's going to be a little different, you know. And they won't have to worry about your baggage. All that stuff staying behind. And when you get there, everything's going to be new and ready for you. So it's no layovers. No, it's going to be a one nonstop flight. We're not going to hit here, there, and yonder on the way. We're just going straight on home. And the ticket's already paid for by Jesus. I thank the Lord. He paid for it many years ago. All we got to do is accept that offer that he gives us. And it's not an automatic thing. We have to take advantage of the salvation he provides for us. And I was looking up the word flight in the dictionary the other night. It says to flee from danger. It's one definition. And that's what it's talking about in 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Jesus will deliver us from the wrath to come. And we won't have to go through that tribulation, that judgment that's going to be poured out on the unbelievers. And another definition was the act or manner or power of flying or moving through the air or space. Mentions a bird and an airplane. We won't have to have either one. I remember when I was a kid, we watched cartoons and talked about Superman. And he says, thought it was a speeding bullet or a plane. No, it's Superman. And when we go shooting through the air, it's not going to be Superman. It's going to be super Christian. We're going to be going right on in the air, just like he did, just flying. Nothing hold us back. Won't have to be dropped off at the airport. Won't have to wait. And there'll be no gate numbers to check in at, destinations to watch on the screen. I only took a couple of trips in an airplane First one, a few years back, wife and I, we went out, drove out to Denver and went from there to San Diego. Mine went blank. But we got on, getting ready to get on board, and never been to an airport, didn't know what to expect. The place was huge. Walk and walk and walk and walk. Get down there, you think you're in the right area. We sit down and we're looking at this TV screen. It says such and such flight leaving this time, this destination at this gate. We're sitting there. We're all ready, waiting, and a few minutes early. And then we got to looking again. They changed gates on us. We had to go to 2A now, and it's way down there. So we take off. We get down there, and we sit down about 5 minutes, and it was ready to leave. So we just barely got there in time. So there was a big mix-up there, or change for some reason. That won't be happening. There won't be any snacks or movies or meals on this plane or in this trip. You know, it's just only in a twinkling of an eye we'll be there. And the Russians were bragging about their hypersonic weapons, and they got planes that might fly Mach 6 and 7, you know, it's pretty fast. And that's going to be considered the slow lane for the Christians, because we're there just that quick. I don't know how far it is, but it won't take long to get there. We don't have to wait on air traffic control, watch the radars to avoid collisions. It's all going to be controlled by the Lord. He's the one that's in control, and he'll get us there safely. There's never been any accidents in this travel. Best safety record ever. There's a lot of plane crashes, you know. Things went wrong, weather, different things. And our trip that time, we got there first time heading one way. It was just great. I enjoyed it. Coming back, we caught in the middle of a thunderstorm. We were circling around, waiting to land, and we finally had to go to Denver Springs instead of Denver. We sat there for 5 hours, weren't allowed to get off the plane. They refuel, we wait, and then we finally take off, get back to our Denver, where we were supposed to go to start with. But there won't be any traffic, weather delays when we take off. And since, if you passed away before that time, before the rapture takes place, no worry, you'll be moved up in line. You get to go first. So you get to bump up in line. And I think of many loved ones that will be going, and hopefully we'll see them in the air on the way. And some may barely have been booked in time. Others been waiting for a lifetime. Doesn't matter as long as we get in time. And like I said, only the faithful, those watching and ready, will be going, those praying. And all on this flight will receive a mansion when they get home on the other side. They're all prepared for them by the Lord himself, the master builder. And there won't be any flaws and defects. There won't be any complaints about this or that. It's going to be a wonderful place. And another beautiful gift we'll have is a glorified body on the way. And they'll be new and improved. You can see many products advertised new and improved, but ours truly will be. It's going to be one that never gets sick. We got many friends here that not here tonight because of sickness and things. That won't be an issue there. When we get there, it's going to be in the past. And the one who made it all possible will travel with us. Several of his good friends, the angels and the archangel, the Lord's going to meet us in the air, and we're going to travel with him, take us on home, get to see, hear some good traveling music, that trumpet blasting, and going along the way. And can't say we'll never see any more war. There will be one afterwards, but it won't be one that we have to worry about, because there won't be any more death after that point. The weapons the enemies used on us, it won't affect us. We already know who's won. The Lord himself, and we're on the winning side. So nothing to worry about there. But this one you don't want to miss, this flight. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and it's available to all. He said he's made it available to everyone. There's no reason for us to miss it unless we just don't want to go. If we don't believe the Lord, then we don't deserve to go if we don't. But anyway, there's many, many benefits to serving the Lord, being ready for when he takes us. And I'm just thankful that we do have that blessed hope of his appearing. And I know by the signs of times around us, it's not going to be long. I just want to be ready and not miss it. And let's keep our loved ones in prayer that they also will make it. None will have to be left behind. That would be very sad, but I just want us all to make it. I want to see all of you in that same place with the Lord. But I'll turn it back to you, Pastor.